It's Wednesday, September 5th, AD 2018. This is The Worldview in 5 minutes, written by yours truly and heard at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Japan has been hit by its strongest typhoon in 25 years, causing at least 6 deaths and 160 injuries, reports BBC. Typhoon Jebi made landfall in western areas, bringing heavy rain and reports of winds up to 107 miles per hour. In Osaka Bay, it swept a tanker into a bridge, and in Kyoto, parts of a railway station roof came down. Continuing the UK government's policy of spending vast sums of aid money on pushing contraception and abortion on developing nations, British Prime Minister Theresa May has announced a new initiative which will see $257 million spent promoting abortion in Africa and Asia, reports Life News. Vice President Mike Pence turned to James 1, verses 2 and 3 recently and responding to a new book entitled The Shadow President, The Truth About Mike Pence, that paints him as, quote, the most successful Christian supremacist in American history, end quote, reports CBN in a recent interview.
The Bible says, count it all joy when you endure trials of many kinds. And, you know, anytime I'm criticized for my belief in Jesus Christ, I just breathe a prayer of praise. I really don't spend a lot of time thinking about it, to be honest with you. The truth is, as I traveled around this country, I hear what I know the president hears on a regular basis. People will reach out, grab a hand, and say, I'm praying for you. This is a nation of faith. We'll continue to stand for the things that we believe in.
In an incredible answer to the prayers of thousands of Christians across the country, California's controversial Assembly Bill 2943, which would have made it illegal to counsel those with unwanted homosexual desire, has been withdrawn by the author, Assemblyman Evan Lowe, an open homosexual legislator, reports the California Family Council. Lowe said on his website, quote, I knew this was an emotionally charged issue, so I spent the past few months traveling up and down the state, meeting with a wide variety of faith leaders, end quote. After meeting personally with pastors, professional counselors, and former homosexuals who lead ministries to others in the LGBT community, Lowe said, quote, with a hopeful eye toward the future, I share with you that despite the support the bill received in the Assembly and Senate, I will not be sending AB 2943 to the governor this year, end quote. At least twice this year, Oprah's O magazine has featured pro-abortion articles. Most recently, Shout Your Abortion co-creator Amelia Bunau was profiled as an activist who encouraged women who've had an abortion to celebrate that fact publicly as a positive, reports the Christian Post. But there are hundreds of thousands of women in America who regret their abortions, and their supporters are calling on Oprah to let their voices be heard as well. Janet Marana, co-founder of Silent No More Awareness Campaign, said, quote, I deal with all the aftermath. All the women who've been hurt physically and psychologically from abortion. I just find it such a farce that they tout this as a safe, wonderful medical procedure, when in fact, it's not, end quote. Commentaries on the Shout Your Abortion website include one woman who disturbingly wrote, quote, My 5 abortions helped me in supporting the 3 children I have today, and abortion is very much pro-life because of it. Because of my abortion, my daughter can live the life she wants. End quote. Marana questioned why, if abortion providers want to empower women with information, do they fight against women's right to know legislation? She asked, should she not know what you're trying to take out of her and how far along that baby is and how formed the baby is? They don't want her to know because they don't want her to change her mind. They want to sell an abortion. End quote. Yesterday, the Democrat members of the Senate Judiciary Committee and yelling pro-abortion activists in the audience turned the confirmation hearing of Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court into a circus. I've got the compelling audio clips in my Worldview special report immediately following today's newscast. And finally, Hall of Fame NFL coach Tony Dungy, now an analyst on NBC's Football Night in America, says he believes God gave him his new job for primetime TV to help Christian athletes share their faith, reports CBN News.
I was working for NBC, broadcasting the game. One of my responsibilities was to interview Nick Foles, and he told me about his Christian faith. He told me he felt that God had him on that Philadelphia Eagles team for a reason. He had been the backup quarterback. Now he was starting in the Super Bowl, and he felt very confident he was going to have a good game because he believed God had him there for that purpose. And so I said that on TV. A lot of people said, well, you shouldn't bring religion into it. I was just reporting the facts. But believe it or not, I got much more support than I did heat. So many people wrote in and said, and I'm glad you talked about his faith in Christ. And I feel like that's one of the reasons God has me at NBC.
Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." Matthew 5:14-15. And that's The Worldview in 5 minutes on this Wednesday, September 5th in the year of our Lord, 2018. Subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. Time now for a Worldview special report. I'm Adam McManus. Judge Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation hearings to the Supreme Court began on a chaotic note yesterday, with Democratic members of the Senate Judiciary Committee interrupting the chairman, Senator Charles Grassley of Iowa, who attempted to call the hearings to order, as pro-abortion protesters almost immediately began belligerent, shrieking, heckling, reports Grabian. Listen to the discordant opening.
I welcome everyone to this confirmation hearing.
Judge Chairman.
Brett Kavanaugh.
Mr. Chairman.
To serve as Associate Justice.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to be recognized for a question before we proceed. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to be recognized to ask a question before we proceed. The committee received just last night, less than 15 hours ago, 42,000 pages of documents that we have not had an opportunity to review or read or analyze.
You're out of order. I'll proceed.
We cannot possibly move forward, Mr. Chairman.
I extend a very warm welcome to Judge Kavanaugh.
We have not been given an opportunity to have a meaningful hearing on the nominee.
There are two daughters.
Mr. Chairman, I agree with my colleague, Senator Harris. Mr. Chairman,
Judge
we received 42,000 documents that we haven't been able
else joining
to review
us
last
today.
Night, and we believe this hearing should
I know
be postponed.
This is an exciting day for all of you here,
Mr. Chairman,
and you're rightly proud
Mr.
of
Chairman, if we cannot be recognized, I move to adjourn.
The American people.
Mr. Chairman, I move to adjourn.
Directly from Judge Kavanaugh later this afternoon.
Mr. Chairman, I move to adjourn. Mr. Chairman, we have been denied real access to the documents we need to advise.
Mr. Chairman, regular order is called for.
Which turns this hearing into a charade and a mockery of our norms.
Well,
and Mr. Chairman, I therefore move to adjourn this hearing.
Okay.
For a roll call vote on my motion to adjourn. Okay. Mr. Chairman, I move to adjourn. I ask for a roll call vote.
We're not in executive session. We will continue as planned.
Pro-abortion and liberal protesters in the hearing room interrupted the proceedings more than half a dozen times, with at least 22 people arrested soon after the hearing began. As Democratic senators fought to delay the hearing of Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh, and as spectators jarringly heckled the process yesterday, his wife Ashley rushed their two young daughters, Margaret, 13, and Liza, 10, from the hearing room, reports the Washington Examiner. One insider said, quote, "It was very unpleasant for young children," end quote. White House Deputy Press Secretary Raj Shah dismissed the complaints, tweeting, quote, "By my count, in the opening 30 minutes and this Democrat tantrum, well over a dozen references to documents and zero references to Judge Kavanaugh's cases, votes, or record as a judge for the past 12 years," end quote. Republican Senator John Cornyn of Texas was upset by the mob rule mentality of the Democrats on the Judiciary Committee.
Senator Whitehouse has suggested that we handle this hearing like a court of law, but I would suggest that if this were a court of law, that every member of the dais on that side would be held in contempt of court.
Oh, come on.
Because this whole process is supposed to be a civil one where people get to ask questions and we get to get answers. And that's the basis upon which we are to exercise our constitutional responsibilities of advice and consent. So I would just suggest we get on with the hearing.
Republican Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina directly confronted the Democrats about an NBC tweet which reported a phone call on Labor Day during which they conspired to shut down or delay the confirmation hearing.
Senator Tillis.
Mr. Chairman, I'm confused. I'm reviewing a tweet from NBC that said Democrats plotted coordinated protest strategy over the holiday weekend, all agreed to disrupt and protest the hearing, sources tell me. Dem leader Chuck Schumer led a phone call, and committee members are executing now. So I just want to be clear. None of the members on this committee participated in that phone call or that strategy before the documents were released yesterday.
Senator Durbin confirmed a conference call did indeed occur on Labor Day Monday.
Senator Durbin.
Mr. Chairman, there was a phone conference yesterday. One of the issues was the fact that over 100,000 documents related to Judge Kavanaugh have been characterized by the chairman of the committee as committee confidential. So one of the discussions yesterday was this whole question of whether this committee is going to hear a nominee for a lifetime appointment to the highest court in the land without access to basic information about his public record. His public record as secretary to the President of the United States, staff secretary. 35 months of public service. We've been told the documents of that service cannot even be considered.
Republican Senator Ted Cruz of Texas clearly explained what all the fuss was about related to the documents from Judge Brett Kavanaugh's 3 years as staff secretary to President George W. Bush.
The Democrats are focused on procedural issues because they don't have substantive points strong enough to derail this nomination. They don't have substantive criticism with Judge Kavanaugh's actual judicial record, so they're trying to divert everyone with procedural issues. But let's talk about the documents for a moment. The claims that the Democrats are putting forward on documents don't withstand any serious scrutiny. Judge Kavanaugh has produced 511,948 pages of documents. That includes more than 17,000 pages in direct response to this committee's written questionnaire, which is the most comprehensive response ever submitted to this committee. The more than a 500,000 pages of documents turned into this committee is more than the number of pages we've received for the last 5 Supreme Court nominees combined. So what's all the fuss over the documents that are not turned over? Most of those concern Judge Kavanaugh's 3 years as the staff secretary for President George W. Bush. Now, many people don't know what a staff secretary does, but that's the position in charge of all of the paper that comes into and out of the Oval Office. The staff secretary is not the author of the paper coming into and out of the Oval Office. That paper is typically written by the Attorney General, by the Secretary of State, by other cabinet members, by other senior White House officials. The staff secretary is simply the funnel for collecting their views and then for transferring the paper back and forth. In other words, those documents written by other people say nothing, zero, about Judge Kavanaugh's views, and they say nothing, zero, about what kind of justice Judge Kavanaugh would make. But they are, by necessity, the most sensitive and confidential documents in a White House. They are the documents that are going to the president. This is the advice and deliberations of the president at the senior level, and the staff secretary is the conduit for those documents.
Senator Cruz went on to accuse Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee of trying to relitigate the 2016 presidential election through Kavanaugh's confirmation process.
So why is it that the Democrats are putting so much energy in saying hand over all of those documents? Because they know beyond a shadow of doubt that President George W. Bush's White House team is not going to allow every piece of paper that went to the president to be made public any more than any other White House would. Republican or Democrat, no White House would allow every piece of paper that went to and from the president to be made public. Indeed, there are rules and laws and procedures for when and how presidential papers become public. And the reason the Democrats are fighting so loudly on this issue is they're making a demand they know is impossible to meet. And by the way, is utterly irrelevant to what actually Judge Kavanaugh thinks, believes, or has said. It would open up all sorts of fishing expeditions to attack, relitigate George W. Bush's record as president and what various cabinet members and senior advisors might or might not have said. But it is, at the end of the day, simply an attempt to distract and delay. And indeed, the multiple motions we've seen from Democrats, delay this confirmation, that reveals the whole joke. Their objective is delay. So what is this fight about? If it's not about documents, if it's not about Judge Kavanaugh's credentials, if it's not about his judicial record, what is this fight about? I believe this fight is nothing more and nothing less than an attempt by our Democratic colleagues to relitigate the 2016 presidential election. 2016 was a hard-fought election all around, and it was the first presidential election in 60 years where Americans went to the polls with a vacant seat on the Supreme Court, one that the next president would fill. Americans knew who had been in that seat, the late Justice Antonin Scalia, one of the greatest jurists ever to sit on the U.S. Supreme Court. And it was the first time since President Dwight D. Eisenhower's re-election campaign that a Supreme Court seat was directly on the ballot. Both candidates knew the importance of the vacant Supreme Court seat, and it was a major issue of contention in the presidential election. Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton were both clear about what kind of justices and judges they would appoint.
Liberals are concerned Judge Kavanaugh could provide a decisive fifth vote on the nine-justice court to overturn or weaken Roe v. Wade, the landmark 1973 case that legalized abortion nationwide, reports Reuters. Beyond social issues, Kavanaugh is also likely to face questions about his views on investigating sitting presidents and the ongoing probe led by special counsel Robert Mueller into Russian meddling in the 2016 U.S. presidential election and possible collusion between Moscow and the Trump campaign. Kavanaugh spent 4 years working for Kenneth Starr, the independent counsel who investigated former Democratic President Bill Clinton in the 1990s. As a judge, he has amassed a solidly conservative record since 2006 on the influential Washington-based appeals court. Arizona Republican Governor Doug Ducey appointed former Republican Senator John Kyle of Arizona yesterday to replace the late Senator John McCain. Kyle's likely vote in favor of Judge Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation to the Supreme Court strengthens the already strong likelihood of it happening, reports the Daily Beast. So that brings the Republican majority in the Senate back up to 51-49. Republican Senators Lisa Murkowski of Alaska and Susan Collins of Maine, both of whom are pro-abortion, have not yet revealed whether they plan to vote with the Democrats and oppose President Trump's nomination of Judge Brett Kavanaugh. Of course, should there be a tie, Vice President Mike Pence will cast the tie-breaking vote in favor of Kavanaugh. Psalm 1:1-6 puts the varying senators' advice into clear terms. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Please pray that order will return to the Senate Judiciary Committee hearings today and that the senators will make the right decision. This has been a Worldview Special Report. I'm Adam McManus.